Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to this friend and fellow worker, Timothy. And we're near the end of Paul's life. He is in prison in Rome. He's about to be put to death. He has fought the good fight. He has ran the race or finished the race. He has kept the faith. And he's writing to Timothy, who he calls his kindred spirit. And he says, come as soon as possible. We know that he's about to die and he wants Timothy there. But he writes this letter with a goal, really, of encouragement, instruction. He wants to encourage Timothy to stand strong, to be faithful. We saw it in the very first of the letter. He said, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Savior, but stand strong. And then he said, stand strong in the grace of God. He also wants Timothy, he wants to instruct Timothy to continue in the ministry and to make disciples. As we saw in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, the things you've been taught, Timothy, you turn around and you teach other people who will be faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. We all need encouragement. We all need the encouragement and the instructions to stand in a fallen world, to carry on the ministry that Jesus Christ has for each of us. This morning, it's a special section. We call it a first century poem because Paul uses this poem. Of course, he may have made the poem up, or it may have been a poem that other people knew. We just don't know. But it reminds us of our security that we have in Jesus Christ. And we saw earlier in this letter about security. Let me remind you of something. Just listen to this. This goes back to chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, for this reason I suffer these things. Then he says this, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, that's Jesus Christ. And I am convinced, that's his assurance, that he is able to guard, that's his security, that which I have entrusted to him, that's his eternal destiny, until that day, the day he meets Jesus Christ. So Paul has already written and said, listen, I know who I believed is Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, I'm assured that he keeps me secure, my eternal destiny, until the day that I meet Jesus Christ face to face. And we know that either we will die physically and to be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord, or Jesus is going to come in the clouds and take us. Either way, we'll be with him face to face. Well, you know, there's something about coming home. Come into your apartment, to your house, to your room. That there's a sense of security because it's your place, and you come in and it's familiar and it's safe. And security is important in our lives. And insecure people are rarely stable. Insecure people are rarely stable. We need security. I read a story that there was a school, and it was by a road, and the kids, when they'd come out, they would huddle up against the side of the building because the cars would come out there, and they wouldn't run and play. And they finally got a fence. They put a fence around the outside of the school, and then the kids ran everywhere because they knew they were safe and secure. We need security. We need safe and security, whether it's our job or our health or husband and wife and parents and children. But it's a truth that we need to understand our security in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Christ as Savior, we are saved and saved forever, and we are secure in Christ. We should have that assurance. There's there's confusion today. There are people who think, well, you know, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you can somehow lose it. And so we want to raise this question. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, are they secure forever? Will they go to heaven no matter what? There's some people who say, well, you know, you could believe in Jesus Christ, but if you don't live right, you could lose it. Or if you do some sins, you could lose it. Or if you don't do enough good things, you could lose it. And those people actually think that salvation is based on your faithfulness, how good we can live. But I want you to understand, and we know from the Word of God and even from this morning, that our salvation is not based on us and our faithfulness. It's based on God. We are secure because of the promises that Jesus Christ has made to us. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life. The Bible is very clear. Jesus makes a promise. When you believe in me, I give you eternal life, and we are saved and saved forever. This morning, this poem talks about security in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at it. Let's begin. Let's think about last time. Paul emphasized the fact that Jesus was both God and man. He said that he is God because of his resurrection from the dead. He said that he's man because he's a descendant of King David. He is the mediator between God and man. It's a great, great passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, he said his ultimate goal is that God would use him for people to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Would that be a goal for us? that God would take your life and my life, and that he would use us, that we could tell people about Jesus Christ and they would trust in Christ for eternal life. See, I want you to remember this, that salvation is in the person of Christ. He is the Savior. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not what you do. Salvation is in the person of Christ. He's the one who died and rose again. He's the one that gives eternal life to all who simply believe. So it's great things there. He died and rose again. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Our salvation is not based on what we do, keep doing, or try to do. It is all based on the faithfulness of God and his promise. And we should understand that. Now, let me give you the poem. Let me show you how the poem fits together this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. In the first part, in verse 11, he talks about salvation. We died and rose again with Christ. We'll talk about that. In verse 12, he talks about rewards. We'll see that. And then in verse 13, he talks about our security. It's a great thing. And this passage sometimes is misunderstood. Let me tell you, when somebody reads verse 12 and it says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Sometimes people get confused and they think, oh, he might deny us salvation. That's not talking about salvation at all. This passage has been misunderstood, but this morning we want to see how it fits together. It's a poem. You know poems. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. That's a poem. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? The Bible tells me so. This is a first century poem that Paul wrote. Maybe he's the one who made it up, and from this point on, it was a poem that they would say. Notice how it begins. Look at verse 11. It says, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It actually starts where the verse 11 says, it is a trustworthy statement. It actually literally in the Greek says, faithful is the word. He's saying this is faithful truth. These are words are true and faithful. This statement is used five times in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. He does it five different times. Now, if you notice, there are four statements in this little section. He says, if we died with him, we will live with him. That's one. If we endure, we will also reign. That's two. If we deny him, he will deny us. That's three. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. There are four if statements. Now, in English, if I said to you, if it doesn't rain, we're going to get to go to the game. Well, that's if. And in English, we think that's a possibility. If it doesn't rain, we don't know if it's going to rain or not. But in Greek, it's not that way. There are actually four or five different ifs in the Greek, and you can look in the Greek passage, and this is what they call a first-class if, which means if, and it's true. So when the person writes this, he's writing this as if the statement is true. And so he says, if and it's true, we died with him, and we did. If and it's true, we endure, and we will. If and it's true, we deny him, and we will. If and it's true, we are faithless, and we are, and we'll see it. So these are all first-class ifs in the Greek. The first one deals with our new life, that we have salvation. The second and the third if statements deal with rewards, and the fourth statement deals with our security. So it's a little bit hard, and you have to kind of dig it and see how it fits together. But just remember this, it's not if, maybe, it's if and it's true. So notice, let's start it again. It's a trustworthy statement. Faithful are these words, is what he says. For if we died with him, and we did, we will also live with him. That's the first statement, and it's true, and it's this. We died with Christ. And you could say, what are you talking about? What do you mean you died with Christ? Do you understand that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says you're placed in union with Christ. You're connected with Jesus Christ. He also tells us in the book of Romans chapter 6 that when Christ died, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he rose to the new life, you rose to the new life. So the Bible actually says that when we put our faith in Christ, we died and rose with him to a new life. That's what it says. I want you to see this. I want you to look, and this is a really powerful thing. I want you to hold your place in 2 Timothy, flip over to the book of Romans, just flip back a few pages in your Bible till you get to the book of Romans chapter 6. If you get to Acts, you've gone too far. Romans chapter 6, I just want you to see it very briefly, but I want you to understand this, that the moment you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're connected with him, and the Bible says you died with him, you were buried with him, you rose to a new life. Paul says, if we died with him, and we did, we also live with him, and we do. We died and rose again to a new life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Now, the word baptized is in this passage, and the word baptized means to be placed in union. That's what it means. He says, or do you not know, verse 3, all of us who have been placed in union into Christ Jesus have been placed in union into his death? We die with him. Therefore, we have been buried with him through union, baptism into death, so that, watch, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in his death, the likeness of his death, certainly we'll also be in likeness of his resurrection. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What Paul told us in Romans is that we died and rose again with Christ. When you put your faith in him, you're placed in union in Christ. You die with him. You were buried with him. You rose. Paul writes this and says, for if we died with him, and we did, we also live with him. It's a great passage. And this truth, we die with him. We shall also live with him. You've got passages where it talks about God giving us life and life forever. We died and rose again to a new life. Paul is showing that our union with Christ is the whole aspect of dying and rising again with him. And we're connected with him. Now, the next passage deals with a different subject. It's going to deal with rewards. So if it's true, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. Now, these next two statements, both are true, and they deal with rewards. Look what they say. If we endure, if and it's true we endure, we will also reign with him. If and it's true we deny him, he will also deny us. What's he talking about? Well, let's see. He's talking about rewards. Look at verse 12. If and it's true we endure with him. The word endure actually means to suffer hardship. It's the idea of if you're living for Christ, if you're going to suffer with him, if you say, I want my life to count for you. And let me just tell you this. You know this. If you make a decision that you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer in a fallen world. You're going to go contrary to the things of this world. If you say, I want my life to count for Christ, I will go wherever he goes. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. I'm going to stand for the truth of the Bible. I'm going to stand for what's right. You're going to suffer in a fallen world. You're going to suffer. He says, if we endure, if we suffer, we will reign with him. That means we'll reign with him. See, when he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we will reign with him. This is service. This is rewards for service. All believers will get into the kingdom, but not all believers are going to reign with him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, he said, well done, good and what? Faithful servant, this has been prepared for you. Take these cities. That's what he actually said. And the bottom line is this, that if you are faithful to live for Jesus Christ, if you endure, you will reign with him. There's going to come a time that Jesus Christ comes. We've been seeing it in our grow groups on Sunday morning. Jesus Christ is going to come to the earth. He's going to set up a kingdom. And he's going to rule in righteousness and justice. And faithful saints, faithful believers will rule with him. You want to rule with him? Do endure. If it is true, if you endure, you will reign with him. That's what he's talking about. It's a great truth. And all of us want to be with him. And it's basically says this, if and it's true, we endure, we'll reign. Service for Jesus Christ will result in rewards for every one of us in this room. I know that when you stand before your Savior, and for all of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, we will never stand before Jesus Christ dealing with sin. Sin has already been placed on Christ. It's over with. When we stand before Christ, it will be based on how we lived for him while we're on this earth. If we endure, basically, if we suffer, if we live for him, we will reign with him. And so you want to stand before our Savior and you want to hear him say, well done, this is for you. I know there's a teaching that a lot of people have always thought that the goal is to get to heaven. Just believe in Jesus and you're going to heaven and we all get up there and we're going to hold hands and rock back and forth and everybody's going to be equal. The truth is we're not going to be equal in the kingdom. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior will be in the kingdom, but not everyone in the kingdom will get to rule and have places of responsibility with Jesus Christ. If you suffer, endure, you will reign with him. Okay? That's a first class if. If and it's true, you do, you will reign. Now look at the second part. If we deny him, He will also deny us. Now, the word deny means to ignore. The word actually means to fall back. It's the idea that if you're just going to say, I don't worry about it, I don't care about it. And there's so many believers who live as if he doesn't count. We get up, we live our own lives. And in a sense, that's denying Christ. This has nothing to do with salvation. This is doing with rewards. He's already said we died and rose again with Christ. This is the rewards. He said if you deny him, he will deny us. In fact, that's the whole point. He will deny us what? Rewards. No service, no rewards. If it is true that you deny him, then he will deny us. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about rewards. That's why all of chapter 2, how does he start? Stand strong in the grace. Be like a good soldier. Take what's been taught, pass it on. Run the race with endurance. Do this, do this. Suffer hardship. Proclaim the message. He's telling Timothy, you've got to be faithful, Timothy. If you're faithful, you'll get rewarded. If you're not faithful, you won't get rewarded. There's a passage in 1 John that actually says, when we stand before our Savior Jesus, we could be ashamed at his coming. It has nothing to do with sin. It's because we'd say, oh, I should have served him. I should have lived for him. And we all know that many, many people who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior live their lives as if he doesn't exist. They don't live their lives for Jesus Christ. Sometimes when something goes wrong, they turn to Christ. But in their everyday lives, they just live. They deny him. That's what it's talking about. And he says, if, and it's true, we deny him, he will also deny us. Every believer will stand before Jesus Christ. It's what's called the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment is bema, B-E-M-A. It means rewarding stand. Romans 14, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be recompensed, to be given back. When you stand before your Savior, if you served him, if you endured, he will reward you. If you didn't, he will deny you rewards. That's what he's talking about. If we deny him, he will deny us. It has nothing to do with salvation. Think of the poem. Endure equals rewards, deny no rewards. That's what he's talking about. Remember something, salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift. It is given by faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift, it is not a reward. Rewards are earned as we seek to live for Christ on this earth. That takes us to the fourth statement. And the fourth statement emphasizes the security that we have in Jesus Christ. Look what he says. If we are faithless, and it's true, we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, the word faithless actually means unbelieving. He's saying that after you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life and you died and rose again with him, and whether you're enduring or denying, if, and it's true, sometimes we are faithless. We're unbelieving. We don't do what he says. We don't live right. We don't trust him. We're not even hanging in there. We're just going through life. Sometimes that happens. He says, if we're faithless, and there are times in every one of our lives that we're faithless people. We're not living for Christ. We're just doing our own thing. Every one of you in this room could say, well, yeah, I've gone through that times in my life. Some of you may say, I'm going through that right now. There are some of you saying, I'm so thankful I'm not going through that now. I'm so thankful that I'm living for Jesus Christ and my life is counting for him. He says, if and it's true, we're unbelieving, we're faithless. Look what it says. He remains faithful. See, God is faithful whether we are or not. Our salvation doesn't depend on whether we're faithful or not. I've heard people say this, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but if you don't live right, you're not saved. You know what they're saying? You got to be faithful. If you're not faithful, you don't make it. It's not based on you. You are not faithful. I am not faithful. If it depends on us getting to heaven, we're not going to make it. He's the faithful one. What was his promise? I give you what? Eternal life, and you'll never perish. That's his promise. He's faithful to do it. Notice what it says. If we're faithless, and we are, he remains faithful. What's his promise? I give you eternal life and you will never perish. We should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's not dependent on me. Let me tell you, if it depends on any of us to get to heaven, guess who's going? None of us. None of us are faithful. Jesus is the faithful one. He's the one that died on the cross and paid for sin. He's the one that rose again, conquering death. He's the one that gives the gift of eternal life. He is the one that's faithful to do everything he says. Why? It says, if we're faithless, if we're unbelieving, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. That's his character. His character is when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. He cannot lie. He promised you eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, Jesus Christ is a liar. Jesus Christ is not a liar. Therefore, you have eternal life when you believe in him, because that's his promise to you. So even if we're faithless, even if we're unbelieving, which we are, he remains faithful. Donald Guthrie wrote this. He said, Christ's consistency to his own promises provides the believer with the greatest security. Nothing can affect the faithfulness of God. We're saved and secure because we've trusted in Christ to give us eternal life, not because we are faithful. God can never go back against his character. He promises eternal life, not based on our service or faithfulness, but based on his faithfulness. Think of this poem. In Christ, we're placed in union with him. We died and rose again with him to a new life. That's our salvation. If we serve him, there's rewards. If there's no service, there's no rewards. And as far as our security is concerned, he is faithful to do what he says. I found this. I usually don't even quote in, you know, other people and things, because the Bible is the key. But Dallas Seminary, Mark Bailey is the president of Dallas Seminary. I went to Dallas Seminary a long time ago. And Mark Bailey is the president. And I looked at what he said about this poem. Listen to this. It's not very long. I'm just going to read it to you. He says, when you first look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it is a comforting reminder that since we died with Christ, we also experienced the resurrection to newness of life with him. Then he says, second, if a believer endures the suffering, he will one day reign with Christ. But third, if a believer departs from following Christ faithfully during his life, Christ will deny him at the judgment seat of Christ. He will lose some of his rewards, but he cannot lose his salvation. And then finally, he says, if a believer is unfaithful, Christ still remains faithful. So it's a great truth for all of us that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. If we serve him, there's rewards. If we don't serve him, there's no rewards. Even when we're unbelieving and faithless, because that's how we are, he remains faithful. He can never go back on his word. He always does what he says. So think about the poem. New life. Our identification is with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. Rewards based on service. We're going to give an account. If we serve him, there's rewards. If we don't serve him, there are no rewards. And finally, security. It's based on God's faithfulness. What a passage. What a passage. So when you read this poem, first part, you died and rose with Christ to a new life. Second part, if you serve him, you'll get rewards. If you don't serve him, you won't get rewards. Third part, even when we're faithless, even when we don't believe, even when we're not living for him, even when we fail, he remains faithful. He made the promise. He cannot deny himself. Applications. Just realize, understand what we have in Jesus Christ. There are three things. First of all, we have new life. We're in union with Christ, with Jesus Christ. We died and rose again with him. That's our salvation. Second, rewards. We will give an account of how we live for Jesus Christ. If we serve him, there'll be rewards. If there's no service, there'll be no rewards. And then finally, third, security. Our salvation and security is based on God and his faithfulness, not on us and our faithfulness. Let's live our lives resting in the character of God. He gives eternal life. We don't have to be afraid. We serve him not out of fear, but out of love, trusting in the one who cannot deny himself.